50 years ago, few would have wagered that San Antonio would emerge as one of the fastest growing cities in America and a viable international city with more going on into its future than in its rich past. San Antonio is now a city of the future, but what did it take to change the city's destiny? Judge Nelson Wolf has some ideas. He wrote several books, and his latest one, right in front of me, The Changing Face of San Antonio, International's An Insider's View of an Emerging International City. And Judge Wolf is with us this afternoon. If you want to call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at the source at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. And Judge Nelson Wolf, welcome back to The Source.
Oh, good to be here. Good to be here.
Before we dive into your transparency, as you talk about how decisions are made in San Antonio, it is an eye-opener for many people who aren't clear on how we arrive at many of the initiatives that we see in the city and the county. Let's talk a little about the passing of former President George Bush. And he was president while you were mayor of San Antonio.
Yes, he was. We had the opportunity to have the signing of the NAFTA agreement here in San Antonio, as well as an international summit on drugs and economic development with South America and Mexico. So I had an opportunity to be with him quite some time. My wife spent a full day with Barbara Bush. We had a dinner one night where I sat at the table with him and some of the other presidents, and it was an interesting time because that night he said, let's not get serious tonight. Let's enjoy ourselves. So we talked about a lot of different things. Of course, baseball was one thing we had in common. He played for Yale University when he was in college, and I think he played first base. So he was a classy person. He really exemplified everything that a president ought to be about, we're all going to miss him. I had a good relationship with his son also, who was very much like his father, those are, well, particularly Bush, the senior Bush, set a standard that, has not been replicated, in my view, since then.
As you said, he picked San Antonio for two major events, the signing of the NAFTA documents and also the drug summit. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he picked San Antonio? He could have gone to Houston or any other place for those events.
Well, we worked on it really hard. I had a personal relationship with then President Salinas of Mexico. I had met him before he became president, and then my sister-in-law grew up with him. So he was instrumental in helping bring it here, too. But President Bush, obviously, would have to make the final decision. And he did it here in San Antonio. And I think it was a proper place to do it, close to Mexico. And he chose to come here, which I really appreciate. Those two really put us on the map toward being an international city when those two events occurred here.
And we got the NAFTA Bank here as well?
That's right. The NAFTA Bank followed up, and that's still here today. In fact, I spoke at their anniversary just the other day, and so it's still going strong.
So do you think that President Bush recognized that there was something special about San Antonio?
I believe he recognized the fact that out of all the American cities, we probably had the closest relationship with Mexico. Not only from a trade perspective, but also families and friends and strong ties to Mexico. University of Mexico opened their first branch right here in San Antonio. So there was a long history of that, and I think he recognized that.
And that says something about him, that he was able to recognize that.
Yes, it does. And he had a, political terms are a little difficult to say, conservative, crazy, liberal, moderate. Were you looking for common ground? And I think that's where I put him, a moderate looking for common ground.
And had a view looking for how to help people, how to create institutions that would serve the public.
He was one of the last ones that was very effective at that.
So that was in 1992?
That's right.
And here we are today. Yes. You were mayor then, now you're county judge today.
Yeah.
A lot has happened between now and then.
A lot has happened. You know, when I look back over those period of time, of course, I was born here, born at home on the south side, and saw how we went down on the south side, how growth began to occur on the north side, and then, of course, one of the chapters deals with Data Point when we were on top of the world in the early 1970s. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years, and I really believe right now, more than any other time in our history, I think we're positioned better than we've ever been with the diversity of our economy, with now growth occurring on the south side of San Antonio, downtown starting to thrive, pushing east and west. I believe this is our best time. Of course, we always got problems to handle. I know that. But in terms of the time length I've been around, I think we're setting it the best time for San Antonio.
The changing face of San Antonio, how has it changed? What was it, and what is it becoming?
Well, I think in a number of different areas, and the book kind of tackles with respect to about six of those areas. And I think the one that, to give you an example, like the one on the river, how that's dramatically changed, how that's led to downtown development, how that's led to the largest ecological restoration of a river in the urban river in the United States, how that led to the World Heritage designation, the only place in Texas that has that sort of designation, and then how the San Pedro Creek that we're doing now ties into that. A dramatic changes that have occurred with respect to the river. And then the fact that the voters approved the thing we took to them to build the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts in 2008, and how the symphony relates to that, and how our culture relates back to the Germans that came here, that began the effort to create classical music here in San Antonio, and how that underlying culture means a lot to everybody, and how that's played a complete role, how we've really up the grade of healthcare in San Antonio, which people understand the need for education, but they also got to understand that if you're not healthy, you're not going to get a very good education. So we're putting a great deal of money into making sure everybody has the best of healthcare. We're trying in the last 17 years to totally change the criminal justice system to one that we call therapeutic justice that tries to help people rather than just incarcerate them and make them a worse person. We've had a lot of great success over the last 17 years with drug courts, mental health courts, veterans courts, trying to help stabilize families and help them along. And then now we're beginning to see the evolution of a really, I believe, a strong tech district that's changing the dynamics of San Antonio. And then the chapter that we did on Bibliotech, trying to reach more people in some of the areas that not have done as well to help them with technology, show them how to get information, making more books and information available over the internet. We think all those things are leading to a better education, a more equitable city. Again, still a lot more work to do.
The Changing Face of San Antonio, an insider's view of an emerging international city, written by Nelson Wolf, our county judge. He's with us today. And if you got a question or comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're joined by Nelson Wolf. He's the author of several books. His latest one is The Changing Face of San Antonio, an insider's view of an emerging international city. We have a voicemail from a caller. Here we go.
Hello, my name is Tony, and my concern is that the city of San Antonio keeps getting larger and larger and larger, yet our transit system is stuck in the 1970s. We need to do something about the, you know, there are many areas where the buses don't run that often, they don't run that late. So we need to greatly improve the transit system. Thank you very much.
Well, he is exactly right. We are working on that with Mayor Nuremberg. We're co-chairing an effort to put together a plan, and Henry Cisneros, former mayor, is playing a major role in that. And the idea is to how do we use all the modalities of transportation, the bus, the van, Uber, Lyft, scooters, bicycles. How do you improve the street infrastructure to handle a bus rapid transit? We're going through that right now, and things are changing so fast. If you just followed what was happening with General Motors as they're moving more and more towards sharing car use, where they're moving toward autonomous vehicles. The world is changing very fast, and you're right, we're stuck with a bus system that hadn't changed in decades.
But you have to wonder about the opportunity that presents itself to hopscotch, leapfrog over technology, not have to invest heavily in rail, and then just and try to transition in the latest technology that you mentioned that's coming on board.
Well, I don't believe you're going to have a successful public transit system unless you partner with the private sector. I think that's important. It's important to do that with respect to that last and first mile or so, or where you jump off the bicycle, off the bus. How do you get to where you're going after you jump off? How do you create different routes that give greater flexibility? How do you have a more on-demand system? To me, that's where we're still far behind, and we're trying to move it in that direction. We'll see if we're successful or not.
So your book, The Changing Face of San Antonio, you take us inside some of the meetings as initiatives are discussed, how as you all examine what are the needs of San Antonio, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, and then you would come up with ways to say, well, what about this, and how can we fund that, and will the people, is this what the people want? And we see things like the 2008 bond election that was able to give us the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts, and that in and of itself, you make it seem so easy in the book, as a matter of fact. But I remember how difficult it was just getting to the consensus that, okay, this is what we want. We want to have a performing arts center at the municipal auditorium, and this is how we're going to pay for it, and this is how we're going to get people to, consider it.
Yeah.
So that you skip a lot.
Well, we went through a traumatic period of time in the late 90s when the Congress killed or tried to kill the funding for arts. In fact, they cut it in half, and it came down here where they tried to do away with the Arts Culture Department and cut it another 15% here. And then for 2 years, I worked with Mayor Garza, where we put together a wide coalition of people. Some 2,000 people participated, came up with 38 different methods that we could address the arts, and one of those was to build a performing arts center, which I pushed real hard for. And the idea was, how do you find the funding for it? And I found a source of funding that nobody ever used before for these events, and so we got the task forces and got the commissioner's court to go along with it. It goes pretty fast, like you say in the book, but it's always a hard work behind the scenes that gets you to where you go. And 65% of the people supported that. And so it does take time, but it goes all the way back to I think when Mayor Garza and I he was mayor and I was county judge, we created that wide network, and I think that's what built the support for doing something like the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts.
During the presentation of this concept that we're going to take the old municipal auditorium and put in the state-of-the-art theater inside of it, and there were a lot of questions about, why here? And the part of the presentation was, this is going to help a part of downtown that was not really as vibrant as other parts were, and sort of drive downtown development further up Broadway at a time people were going like, why would you want to do that? So this is something that has that delivered?
Well, we looked at several different sites as we were picking one. And the municipal auditorium made a lot of sense because the city was losing something like $1 million a year because it just wasn't being used at all. And so they were in a mind to, you know, get out of that business. And so it worked out good that they provided the land and the building to us. And, of course, we tucked down most of the interior and built what is there now and kept the facade on the outside. And so that, you're right, that area of the city was not growing. So what do you see now that is happening around there? You only have to go a few blocks over to Broadway, and it's just a whole new world there. In 2003, I was walking through the Pearl Brewery with Kit Goldsberry, and he was talking about his idea, what he would like to do with that. And he had a flooding problem, which we helped them on doing. And then we did the river along about the same time as we did the performing arts going up that way. And so what do we see today? I see a totally whole transformed area, and it's just continuing to be built. 10-story building going up now for Credit Human, another 6-story building going up for additional businesses, another one right down the street, thousands of housing units. We took a dead area of town by making the right public investments and tying together with the private sector to totally transform that area.
And creating an amenity for the arts.
That's right. And by the way, I don't know about this last year, but I know for several years in a row, the Tobin Center for the Arts, with respect to theaters, 2,000 or less seats in the world, was ranked number one in the world for several years. Still might have been done last year. I don't know about last year.
But we were also told that this would be a stabilizing factor for the San Antonio Symphony. That hasn't happened.
No, it hadn't. And we're still struggling with that. But we're on the right road. Symphonies struggle all across the nation. And I just hope we can convince more people how important it is to the city, because all our music derives from classical music. And kids, thousands of kids are playing it in schools today. The symphony members only make like 30-some-odd thousand a year. It isn't like we're paying them a ton of money, but they're out there providing inspiration for kids throughout San Antonio. So, yes, we've struggled, but while we've struggled, we've kept it going, too. And they're performing today, and there was a little controversy regarding two different groups there back there, two or three years ago, but it's worked out. Kathleen Vail has done a strong job of raising money. I was looking at her numbers toward the end of last season, and she had something like 1,000 people give on an average of $800. I mean, I thought that was an extraordinary, extraordinary outpouring support for the symphony.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. If you've got a question for Judge Nelson Wolf, and we've got Raul on the line. And Raul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Big fan of the program, and especially big fan of Judge Wolf. I had a question for you with regards to some public works, I guess. I'm the owner of a residential treatment center for substance use disorder, and we have been operating at or near capacity for the last year with the national crisis that's going on with substance use disorder. And of course, Bexar County is not part of that, unfortunately. As such, we've been trying to, we secured another facility to try to expand our capacity, and we've run nothing short of obstacle after obstacle and delay after delay dealing with Bexar County Fire Marshal and Bexar County Public Works. And my question to you, Judge, is there anything that can streamline the process for a small business that's trying to not circumvent any rules, because it's always a feeling that I get whenever I go down and talk to Public Works or I go down and I talk to the fire marshal. Mm-hmm. There's always a feeling of you're trying to circumvent some kind of rules or something, and you always walk out of there feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know, here's some more roadblocks, some more delays, some more expenses that have been created, mm-hmm. when all we're trying to do is meet the public need, meet the public demand for the services that are needed here in Bexar County.
Right, Raul, thank you for the call. Let me get judged.
Yeah, well, if you'll get to my office or my cell phone, where that location is and what the problem is there, I'll dig into it and find out why it can't move ahead.
Raul, if you could leave your information with our producer, Jan, and we'll pass that to Judge Wolf. But to the issue that Raul is facing in terms of there are businesses who do want to expand, who do want to build, and they come into some difficulty at times dealing with red tape. How do y'all prioritize making sure that people are able to get things done?
Well, you know, we have limited authority. I don't know where this location is he's talking about. We do have some fire protection issues that we have to participate in, but beyond that, we don't have control over building permits, and we don't have ordinance power. So I don't know whether his may be in the city, too. I'm not sure. So there's a lot of those powers we don't have. Generally, what happens in one like he's talking about, you have a neighborhood arise and fight it because you'll be bringing people in there that you're treating for drugs. So I don't know what happened there. But most of the development control is by the city. They have the control in the areas outside of San Antonio that are close to the city. And I think they're trying to do the best thing they can to protect public safety at the same time, provide a business opportunity to grow. And sometimes it gets unbalanced, and you have to look at each case closely to see who's right and who's wrong.
Much of the growth that we're seeing in the area is actually outside of the city, in the county. How do you see that developing? How is that going to be managed?
I personally think it's one of our biggest long-term problems. The county does not have the resources. We don't have CPS revenue. We don't have sales tax to meet to do the things that a city can do. And so you got this whole area going west predominantly, and then out 35. And what's happening out there? There's no city government. It's all in the county. And what needs to be done is the right of citizens to create their own city in what's called the ETJ. Right now, they can't do it if the city doesn't let them. The city of San Antonio doesn't let them. They ought to have that right. There's 26 other cities in Bexar County. I meet with them every quarter. But this whole area west, the only solution I have is that we'd have to go to the legislature, and we're going to try to do that, to give citizen a right to create their own city out there and determine their own tax rate and what services they want to provide. That's the only answer that I have to it at this point.
And why would they want to do that?
Well, a lot of cities want some of these other amenities. They may want a library. They may want additional police protection. That would be up to them to decide what they want and how they want to do it.
But people move out there because they want to get away from the city.
Well, it would be up to them to decide now what happens. You know, they did that in Camelot, and they did that in a few other places. What happened 30 years later?
It's not a pretty picture. It's a blemish on the face.
It's not a pretty picture. So it's hard, I think, long term. Short term, you're okay. I think it's hard long term to live in an area that has no other resources and no ordinance making power and no right to regulate development. Long term, I think it's not.
But it's
healthy.
Important to get ahead of these problems before they become just crisis.
Yeah. And this
we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We've got Judge Nelson Wolf with us in the studio. He will take your questions and comments. We're talking about the changing face of San Antonio. How did we get here? Where are we going? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Changing Face of San Antonio, the book launch party, is tomorrow from 4:30 to 7 p.m. at the Bexar County Courthouse Double Height Courtroom, and that's at 100 Flores on the second floor. The author of the book is the distinguished author is Nelson Wolf, and he's your county judge as well here in Bexar County. If you've got any questions or comments, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Bonnie is on the line, and Bonnie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask about the distribution of hospitals in the area. It seems like more and more hospitals are opening up far northwest, and over here on the east side of town, there are no full-service hospitals. you have to travel to get to an emergency room, to get to a place to deliver a baby, to get to a place where you can have surgery and that sort of thing.
Bonnie, thank you for the call.
Well, we did open a major...
when you say we, who's we?
The Bexar County Hospital District, through the Bexar County Hospital District. We opened a major facility over on right off of Walters Road on the east side of San Antonio. About 99% of patients today go to these outlying clinic and ambulatory centers, which is what we opened over there. And we have a lot of people coming in there. They can be... if they have a major operation, they can be transferred to our major hospital. We have another major clinic in the downtown area, six stories high. So we pushed out to do a number of those things. I don't know. I know that the Methodist Hospital, I believe they bought a center over there in the southeast part of town that was an old Baptist center, I think, hospital. And there was a new Baptist hospital built in Brooks Base also here a few years ago. Right now, that's the stretch I have of it.
But do you see that there is something that needs to be addressed?
Well, I know we're always constantly looking at the world has changed with healthcare just as it has with there's less and less people going to a hospital today. There's less and less people staying there longer. And that's because of the outpatient ability that you have in these ambulatory centers where you can do an operation there too, maybe not a major one, but 99% do not come to the hospital anymore.
The U.S. Census counts coming up for 2020. There's some concern about undercounts, and maybe Bexar County could see an undercount if this citizenship question remains or there isn't a robust effort to count as many people as possible. Do you see that as something that Bexar County, the court, needs to take action on?
Well, you know, there are always concerns when you begin to take the census up again. I don't think the laws have changed. I think one thing that did change, they didn't provide funding to give people notice about being sure they get counted. I know there's some apprehension among some families that might have a person here that's not documented right. There's some fears that maybe they would not fill out the forms.
But Bexar County has a vested interest in making sure everyone gets
counted. Yeah, we'll have a major effort. In fact, the mayor and I think we're close to signing a letter where we would set up an overall task force made up of city and county employees.
A complete count task force?
Yeah, complete count task force. So we're getting that ready to go. And but I think resources are part of the problem.
Another caller. This is Carlos. And Carlos, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Judge Wolf, I have a question about the Bexar County Hospital District. My understanding is that the major physician partner is the UT Health Science Center. And although that's great, they're phenomenal physicians, why is that so? And is the county hospital district interested in expanding more of a public-private partnership to open the health system to private physicians to improve access for individuals in the community?
That's a really good question. We've for the last several years, we've had a written agreement, by the way, with the UT Health Science Center for an exclusive practice by the UT physicians. I believe there's something like 600 or 700 of them that practice in our hospital. This last go-round, we did leave flexibility for our hospital district to contract with other physicians other than those serving with the UT Health Science Center. It's my understanding that we have hired some, that we've done some of that. It depends on the specialty that we may need that the Health Science Center physicians may not have. So there is a little bit more flexibility today than there has been in the past.
We talk about our hospital district and the facilities we have. Robert B. Greene Hospital gets mentioned all the time. Robert B. Greene is a former Bexar County judge.
That's right.
And he started the hospital district. He wanted to create a charitable hospital. He fought for that. He was a man known for his rock-solid integrity at a time when Bexar County was rife with corruption.
Yes.
How do you want to be remembered?
Yeah, well, you know, I want to be remembered for the fact we made the biggest investment anybody ever made in our hospital system. In 2008, we took a controversial vote to invest some $900 million in the hospital system. We built the new Robert B. Green clinical building, six stories high in the downtown area. Then we built a 10-story Sky Tower out at the medical center. We opened them, I think, in 2014, 2015, something like that. And they're state-of-the-art hospitals. We're now investing more money. We're going to build a women and children's hospital that will be attached to the Sky Tower at the medical center. It will be only for women and children, comprehensive services, and then the connection link to the, our hospital would be for ancillary services. We're also building a new heart and vascular center, some 48,000 square feet within the hospital. So we've made more investments than I think any previous commissioner's court's ever made in our hospital system.
The commissioner's court is set up to vote on the second segment of the San Pedro Creek Cultural Park. What's going to happen on that?
Well, we are at the stage now where we have started the construction piece going from Houston Street down to Nueva. That's probably, well, we just finished one of the hard parts from the tunnel inlet down to Houston. This one may be a little bit more challenging because it narrows up more there. But we're going to be going right by the Alameda Theater, which is where Texas Public Radio will be housing. I think y'all might have started construction. I'm not sure. And then we're doing work on the theater there also, the city and the county. And we'll have a little performance area right to the side of it. We'll have a plaza in back of it for Texas Public Radio. And it'll go right behind the Spanish Governor's Palace, going on down to where the new proposed University of Texas collaboration center on cybersecurity, the business school, will go. And it'll take us right up to Nueva Street, where right across the street is the federal courthouse. We'll also this begin the design on that next stage from Nueva down to Cesar Chavez. So we're moving along with the project, and I think we'll have this next section ready within 2 years.
We're already seeing a lot of growth, as you mentioned, with UTSA expanding downtown.
Yes.
All this is going to be coming together?
Well, I think it is coming together. The San Antonio College District is building a new administrative building right down there on the creek also. As we know, the Frost Tower is going up right now. So people across the street from there are working on some plans. I know Western Urban's bought land along the creek too. So over the years, you're going to see more and more development occur along the creek.
So how different you think it'll be, you know, and mainly because that y'all took on this initiative, you think y'all are driving the growth?
Well, yes, I'd say so. Because if you see what's there now, as opposed to the drainage ditch that was there before, it's total transformation of that area. And so we've always sort of neglected the west part of downtown. You know, you had the convention center businesses to the east and some business development in the middle center, but we've always ignored the west part of downtown. And I think this is going to totally revive it. In fact, Texas Public Radio being down there is going to be a major, major change.
But when we first heard about the proposal, it was much more, I guess, a lavish. There were more ornamentation onto what the plan was, and since then it's been, what do you think we ended up with?
Well, you know, you always go in and you want to kind of lay out what you think is the best thing that you can do, but then you got to be realistic and look at the cost. And so we've had to trim some things back, but I don't think anything was trimmed back that had any dramatic impact on it. It's still a beautiful project.
And so you can see some parts of the part of the creek are already taking shape. The first stage is is, I mean, you can see it. It looks pretty good.
Well, you know, you need to go down there to really get a sense of it. Go down to Houston where the creek crosses over to the Alameda Theater and walk along that going up north, and you'll see the dramatic change in that area. It's really beautiful.
And so we're joined by Judge Nelson Wolf. He has a book out. It is called The Changing Face of San Antonio. This is what book number what?
I think it's the sixth one. I've written on different topics. Really, you know, as part of the job I've got, I think doing this probably has a bigger impact than most of anything else I do, because at least it's going to be there for future generations. I still have young people coming up that are going to work at City Hall or going to work somewhere else, and the first book they pick up is Mayor, to read about that.
And that's the book, Insider's View of San Antonio Politics from 1981 to 1995, written by you.
Yeah. And so it really kind of is a good tool for people to reflect back on and see why we made those decisions, how we made those decisions. I write every morning when I get up. I get up early, about 6 o'clock.
So part of the transparency of being a leader in politics here. We're going to take another break. We'll come back. We got a lot of callers here on the board. We will get you on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. You can call in and speak to Judge Nelson Wolf. Ask him a question, 210-614-8980. Raul is on the line. Raul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question. We're the seventh largest city in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. Who and what is keeping us from having a Major League Baseball team and an NFL football team? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
All right, Raul, thanks for the call.
I'll tell you who's keeping you from NFL. That's the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans. So
they having the fan base.
Yeah, right? They like this fan base. Even Jerry Jones with the Dallas stated he didn't want to see football here in San Antonio. So that's part of the problem. And then with respect to Major League Baseball, you know, we've tried to get NFL football here at least twice and Major League Baseball here at least once.
You tried to get the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, we tried to get the Florida Marlins. I fell on my face on that one. But we are getting up to AAA, so that is a step. And generally, when they go to new cities, they go to a AAA franchise. We'll start that next year. With AAA ball, we'll be the largest AAA franchise in the United States. We may be the smallest Major League one, but we're the largest AAA one. So one of these days, they're going to expand. They talked about expanding maybe two teams. And I think we'd have our best shot at baseball if they do expand two more teams.
But the caller, Raul, talks about San Antonio being the seventh largest city in the United States. But what these owners, these major sports guys look at, it's not your city size, but your market size.
Right. That's right.
And as a media market, ranked around 34.
That's right.
And that's where you got to be up higher than that to be able to support a major team. And we're lucky to have the Spurs.
Yes, we are. You're right. We have a small media market, and we don't have as many corporate headquarters as here as you would like to also see. But we're growing, and I think we will get to that. And one of these days, Major League Baseball will probably add two more cities, and by then we'll be ready. I'm not sure how we overcome Dallas and Texans on football.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we should move on. Let's go to Ron. And Ron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. Nice to talk with you, Judge Wolf.
Yes.
My question is about transportation. If there are another million people moving to our area, how are we going to accommodate them if they're all driving cars? I happen to be a bicyclist, and I object to having to share the road with cars and having to breathe their exhaust and having to see, you know, what an inefficient form of transportation most people use. And as we grow exponentially, it's going to be an even bigger problem. So I'd be very interested in your comments on that.
Thanks for the call, Ron.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I know that the city's been working hard to try to provide more bicycle lanes. And, you know, I may have the wrong idea, but at least I'll share it with you. I think bicycles, scooters, different modes of transportation like that can work in a number of of urban nodes. And if you get it with a plan to use the bikes within that urban node, I think you've got a chance of doing a much better job. I think we've identified about 14 different urban nodes around the city where you can live and work and play in the same area. And if you could offer more opportunities to use bicycles in those places, I think you'd really expand the scope of getting people out of their cars. And I know the city is looking at that and very supportive of it.
Climate change is something that came to mind as I heard Ron's comments. And we're hearing more and more of the reports, the dire predictions. This is something that is serious. It's real. It's happening. And leadership is needed in order to come up with ways to limit our carbon emissions and also try to develop ways to reduce carbon in the atmosphere.
Well, you know, that's why I was really kind of excited when I read about GM and the lady that's running it, trying to transition away from the carbon-based vehicles using petroleum and going to electric cars, going to car sharing, and moving away from what we see today. I think that's really, really important. I think when we look at autonomous automobiles, we've already got them in some fashion. There's five stages toward autonomous automobile. I think we're at about stage three now. I think that's going to make a big difference. I think CPS is making a big difference, moving more and more to renewable energy. I think the faster we can move to that, the better off we're going to be. I know in Texas, I think we're the first in the nation in wind energy. And so we're making strides to go toward that. So it's really how you produce your energy and how many cars and trucks and vehicles are spewing it out. That's the two major things for San Antonio. We don't have any real big industry blowing up smoke into the air. So those two things are the key thing. And again, that ties to public transit that we're trying to get more people to use if we'll make it easier for them to do that.
So as county judge, what can you do to try and help get us there?
Well, one thing, like say the mayor and I are both working on the public transit thing together and coming up with a joint effort, and the county can participate in that financially by helping on these major arteries to create lanes that are devoted, whether it be to bicycles, whether it be to bikes, whether it be to bus rapid transit. I think all of those are important. And I think the work that we try to push in terms of what we do with emissions and whatnot are all ones that we have to really have the support of Congress on as well. So we work hard toward those objectives.
There is some talk with the new district attorney taking over on January 1. Joe Gonzalez, he's saying that he would like to see a more robust public defender representation here at the courthouse. Is that something that the county court would have to figure out where those millions of dollars are going to come from? What do you see?
Here's the issue. We spend about, I don't know, $7 or $8-9 million a year on
$12 million
on outside contractors.
For the public defender in total for the Bexar County judge.
Right now we have, I think, 17 working there now. A lot of the courts are not letting them come into their courts yet. We're going to start a program with respect to magistration where they're going to be allowed to go in, so that's going to be a step up. But the balance is between a public defender's office and what we spend in giving to outside private attorneys. That number is, I think, somewhere around $7 or $8 million just for criminal cases. So if your public defender office were to grow and more of them, you'd have to take it out of that other money. And so we're trying to get a balance in that. We do a good job now with the public defender's office. And like I say, we have some 17 working there now.
Those handle mainly appeals, higher.
They handle appeals, but they also handle all the mental cases. The judges have allowed them to do that in the courts. They've allowed us now to do it with magistrates also. So they keep pretty busy, and that office could expand depending on what route we go with respect to how much money we're spending with outside attorneys.
So your book, The Changing Face of San Antonio, and you do have the launch party happening tomorrow at the Bexar County Courthouse at the Double Height Courtroom on the second floor, and that book launches from 4:30 to 7 p.m. We get a view of what leadership, the difference leadership makes in San Antonio. And for a long time, there wasn't a lot of leadership that wanted to take on the big issues. Their main occupation, I think, was keeping taxes low and just letting developers be able to develop, which is fine. But, you know, what are you doing differently?
Well, you know, we made a conscious decision in 2007 that we were going to cut back and hold operation costs down low. In fact, I don't think we had many more employees than we did back in 2007, 2008, and instead take our money and invest in capital projects that we think will make a difference in San Antonio. And by investing in those capital projects, we expect a return by development occurring where we're making those investments, whether it's in highways, whether it's in the river, whether it's in the creek, whether it's in the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts, whether it's in the 13 regional sports parks that we've built, whether it's in the effort that we brought to bring Toyota here. So that's how we've looked at it. Now, we do, in some areas like therapeutic justice, we've invested more and more money. And the more money we can invest in that and help somebody, rather than send them to jail, that helps balance our books. And we've done a pretty good job of that. I know when I came on here 17 years ago, they wanted to build more jail space. And I said, no, we're going to try to help people instead of just simply incarcerate them. So we've saved thousands of lives by getting them off of drugs, helping them with their mental problems, getting them diverted to good programs. And we're going to continue to work hard to do that and to and to help people rather than just simply incarcerate them.
On January 1st, big transition at the Bexar County Courthouse, a new district clerk, a new county clerk, a lot of new judges. What does that mean? Do you think we're going to have a couple of rickety months there?
Well, it's going to be interesting. We do have a whole new passel of drug. By the way, it's a terrible way to elect judges on a partisan basis.
Yeah, well, we got to consider alternatives.
Yeah, that's got to be changed. I think we're only one of four states left in the nation that does it. It'd be up to the
But the district clerk, the county clerk.
They're all new.
That's so critical.
Yeah, they're all new. The district clerk, though, had worked before in the office, so I think that'll be an easy transition. The county clerk's totally new. New district attorney who has different ideas than the previous one. I think we've got something like 14 or 15 new judges that I got to get.
That's going to be tough. Okay, we're going to keep an eye on that and see what needs to happen to make sure that the wheels of justice don't get jammed up there. Judge Nelson Wolf, the changing face of San Antonio, thank you so much for joining us. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.